Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read, but study their Bible daily according to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you think. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is February the 1st, 2026. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edify newsletter are available. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road. Bible study, 9:30 a.m. Worship at 10:30 a.m. And today, February the 1st, 1 p.m. No 5 p.m. service. We assemble again on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM, WGNZ AM 1110, also on FM 104.3. You may also listen to us on Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. by streaming at thesoulofdayton.com or WGNZ.com. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road, Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414. Or you may email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Love the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Therefore, do not remove nor move the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Keep this in mind, that the way we treat the scriptures, the Bible, God's word, is the way we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you've learned from our earlier studies that the scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testaments. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 and Revelation chapter 22 verses 18 and 19. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Are you listening? The past week reminds us that God is still in control of all things. This winter weather, which we are still experiencing here in the Dayton area, lets us know that we must keep our trust in God, not in self or man. God is the one who has set in motion the seasons And as long as the seasons are changing, we know that man has an opportunity to be responsive to the pleading of Almighty God and be obedient. In our study together last week, we were in John, the 14th chapter. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the peace that the Lord provided, John 14 and verse 27. And we further looked at the expanded components of what the Lord said in John 14 last week and observed that Jesus most truly is, as he says in verse 6, the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father except they go through Jesus. And I hope that you paid attention as we looked at that, because there are those who think that the way to the Father can be your choice. That is farthest from the truth. It is not up to man to walk to direct his own steps. It's not a man who walks, Jeremiah says, to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10, verse 23. No, we must follow that which the Lord has directed. If we want to be reconciled back to God, if we want to truly be united with the Father, that will come through the Son. He is the one who makes it possible. And therefore, man does not have the ability to be united with God by doing his own thing. Or we like to talk about having our own way. We want to come up and we want to have our own design of reconciliation, and yet that won't get it. Jesus said, He is the way. His doctrine, His values, His standard is the only way for man to go back to the Father. Now, there are some who do not like this exclusivity, because they have bought into the mantra of the world, and especially the mantra of our great country, that you can do it your way. People want Burger King religion. They want cafeteria-style salvation. But that will not satisfy Almighty God. As we continue in looking at what the Lord emphasizes in his last lengthy discourse with his apostles. Further, I'm reminded of individuals who love to talk about being the friend of Jesus, or that Jesus is their friend. People say, oh yes, what a friend we have in Jesus. Well, let's think about that and look at what our Lord will say with regards to this in John 15. It has been said that blood may be thicker than water, but real friendship is richer than either. Solomon said, for there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. If all of the colors of a rainbow could be captured in a container and commingled in resplendent beauty to grace that space, and if to that the pallor of a million moonbeams could be supplied, and if to all of this the golden glow of a summer sunset could be made crown and covering, all this beauty would be inadequate to grace the stature of simple and faithful friendship. Only the heavenly brush of inspiration on the pages of that grand old book, the Bible, can glorify and simplify that condition of the heart, that gesture of the hand, that word and walk and work of true friendship. Our Lord said to his apostles in John chapter 15 and verse number 14, he said, John 15 and verse number 13, he says that he has called them his friends. He said, John 15, 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This recognition by our Lord took the disciples out of the realm of just blind, after just being servants, and place them on a rock rib foundation of friendship. Instead of keeping them unaware of his program of service for them, he let them know his plans that the Father had given him, and he gave those plans unto them. They were getting information about, here's what the divine plan of God is for mankind. Even though the Lord would bring it back to their remembrance after his death and his burial, his resurrection, they were given glimpse into what the eternal plan of God was. The Lord's friends are close to him and stand in light. He confides in them in sympathetic and compassionate revelation, and he has told them enough in the gospel he was given, enough to furnish them completely unto every good work. He gives them seed for sowing. He multiplies this seed and graces it with bounteous harvests. For a few moments today, let's look at a few things about this statement of our Lord, I have called you friends. The first question I would ask would be, well, who are Christ's friends? Is the one who neglects, is the one who rejects Christ's commands his friends? Jesus said in John 15 and verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." You know, that settles it. No man dare claim to be a friend of our Lord unless he does his will, unless he does that which the Lord commands. Oh, this would exclude a whole lot of people. Think of those who have never obeyed what the Lord has said in order to become his disciples. Those who have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then there is no way those individuals can be his friend. A person who rejects that Jesus is the Christ, a person who does not believe that the scriptures are the inspired word of God, they are not Christ's friends. You know, there are those who, even in the church, are careless. Those who lean and loaf and lounge and linger and look back, are they friends of Jesus? Surely not. Only those who do his commandments can qualify. Luke said, "Why do you call me?" Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command?" Who are Christ's friends? Is the one who is a friend of the world a friend of our Lord? James answers in no uncertain terms. Listen, James says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." James 4:4. That should cause us to ponder. That should cause us to take a step back and to consider the significance of what the Holy Spirit has said. You know, many would try to carry a cross if they could just drag the world along with them too. But it can't be done. See that man or woman who looks so boldly, sympathetically, and compromisingly on the world, and you see an enemy of God. Gambling, dancing, immodest dressed, lewd actions, lewd talking, gossip, and so forth. All of these together with a legion of vicious vipers and vampires will make a gulf of enmity between the soul and the Savior. Let us beware of them. One who is a friend of the world is not a friend of the Master. Who are Christ's friends? Well, third is the person who says, "Well, I'm neutral." Is the neutral man a friend of Christ? You know, think about that word, neutral. You put a vehicle in neutral, and it's going to go whichever way the incline. If it's in neutral and it's on the downward climb, it's going to move. If it's in neutral and it's in a downward climb, and that downward climb is heading backwards, it's going to head that way. Being neutral is no thing to brag about. Jesus said, I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Neutrality is nothing to brag about. You know, Pilate tried to sit on the fence and wash blood off his hands, but he was branded among those who crucified Jesus. Some men are so neutral that it makes them of no difference which church men enter. Well, that's nothing to brag about. That's a serious, serious problem. It makes no difference whether men are sprinkled or immersed. Yes, it does. But if you're neutral, you don't care. It makes no difference to them what name is worn in religion. Because I'm neutral. They are so broad, they create a traffic jam on the wide way to hell. You know, sometimes some members of the Lord's church are neutral. They will see a servant of the Lord crucified and the Lord's church vilified while they stand on the sidelines and refuse to take a stand for the truth. We marvel how men can survive after having a kidney, an eye, an arm, or a limb removed. How so many people can get along with absolutely no backbone is really hard to understand. Dayton, are you listening? To fail to take a stand for the right is actually a stand for the wrong. Jesus put it this way. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. You are my friend. To be a friend of Jesus, one cannot neglect or reject his commands. To be a friend of Jesus, you is one who is not a friend of the world. To be a friend of Jesus is not one who is in neutral. The friend of Jesus is a person who is willing to obey the commands of the Lord. It is an individual who is willing to do that which the Lord commands. Which leads us then to this observation. How is friendship for Christ manifested? How is friendship for Christ shown? Well, you know, several things. We've already observed this, but it's important for us to look at it from this context. Pious claims do not of themselves prove our friendship for our master. Many in Jesus' day said, Lord, Lord, but did not the things that he commanded them. That's why Jesus would say in Luke 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I instruct you? There were a whole lot of individuals who were saying all of the right things, who were saying pious things, but they were not the friend of Jesus at all. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus made in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus made this observation starting at verse number 7. He called those individuals who were doing those things, he said, you're hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And Jesus said, these individuals, oh, they're being pious. They're saying, positive things, but they truly were not his friends. You talk about lip service. This was it. Lips came near enough to breathe in his face, but hearts were far from him. Here was a core of aloofness covered with the frosting of intimacy. Here was a sepulcher of indifference, whitewashed with sticky piety. So pious claims do not of themselves prove our friendship for our master. Second, faith only does not make us a friend of Christ. Now, there are those individuals who think that, well, all you got to do is believe that Jesus is. All I got to do is believe that Jesus is. Demons are the enemies of our Lord, but demons believe. You know, sometimes people don't, they fail to understand this important point. But the Lord understood this. In James chapter 2 and verse number 19, James starts off by pointing out, he says, look, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. They believe, they tremble, but they do not do. Some Jews of Jesus' day believed on him, but they were still children of the evil one because they would not obey that which the Lord had commanded. You might say, well, I don't know if that's true. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 8 and verse number 31. John 8 and 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. He said, look, you need to abide in his word. That's be obedient to what he said. And then later he would say to these same group in John 8 verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, these individuals, again, pay lip service to the Lord. Note carefully in heart, Jesus says they were murderers. John 8:37, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. Why? Because my word has no place in you. Oh, that was the problem. There are those who think that, I believe, but the word of God has no place in them. Boasted wonders do not guarantee friendship for our Lord. Many stand at the judgment bar insisting that they have changed people's lives, they've cast out demons, they've done many wonderful things in the name of the Lord, and yet they will be banished by the thundering words of our Lord. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, or you doers of lawlessness. I never knew you. Matthew chapter 7, 22 and 23. Just because people do things, if they do it without the authority of the Lord, they're not a friend of his. Appearances alone cannot satisfy the qualifications for friendship and love toward Christ. Man may look on the outside, but God looks within. God knows what is in man, for he sees the heart. How is friendship for Christ shown? I suggest we go back and we let the Lord tell us, and then we need to make sure that we are doing that so that we can hear the Lord say, you are my friend. The friends of Christ, John 15, verse 14, are those who do his commandments. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. The friends of Christ are the ones who do that which he commands. Or put it another way, the friends of Christ are those who are doers of his word. John 15, verse 14. The friends of Christ are the ones who keep his word. John 14, verse 23. Remember Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The friends of Christ are the keepers of his word. The friends of Christ are the walkers with his word. John, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 6, John spoke and he wrote to these individuals who were keeping his word. And he said, he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Those individuals who will keep his commands. The friends of Christ walk and work with fellow servants of the Lord. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Friends of Christ walk and they work with fellow servants of the Lord. Oh, to be a friend of Jesus is a wonderful thing. Sometimes people talk about and we say, you are my friend, and we sing songs about friendship. But true friendship, the friendship that the Lord is speaking of, is not manifested by worldly ideas, not manifested with worldly measurements. True friends of Christ are doers of his word. John 15, verse 14. True friends of Christ are keepers of his word. John 14, verse 23. True friends of Christ are walkers with his word. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. True friends of Christ walk and work with fellow servants of the Lord. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Dayton, are you listening? You know, the real test of love and friendship for our Lord is heart action, hand action. It is prompted by a mountain peak attitude. It is anchored by hope embedded deep in God's promises. It is undergirded by faith unshaken and rock-ribbed. It reaches upward for the hand of heaven. It reaches downward to a needy world. It reaches outward and onward to mighty conquest and triumphant destiny. What a treasure and pleasure the measure of friendship commended by our Lord is. You know, Jesus, again, in John chapter 15, he makes this observation. You know, it says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Jesus pointed out that greater verse before that, he had said that greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's own life for his friends. Jesus was about to do this very thing. Jesus was about to lay down his life for his friends. He was ready. He was getting ready to surrender himself so that he could go to the cross of Calvary for his friends. Jesus would tell the apostles, you are my friends. If you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. They know what the master is about to do. Jesus had told them back in Matthew chapter 16, he said, I have to go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, and then be killed. Jesus told them, I will be raised from the dead. You are my friends because he's told them what he is going to do. He has told them what the Father is going to do. He said, but I have called you friends for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. The Father has given us his will. We are his friend if we do that which he has commanded. We are his friend if his word abides in us. We are his friends if we are walkers with his word. We are his friends if we walk and work with the fellow servants of the Lord. Dayton, are you listening?